Well, we're in Psalm 127:1. Building a house of worship. And so we've been talking about, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Last Sunday we talked about repentance. This morning I want us to still kind of be on that train of thought. Repenting hearts. Certainly that is the message of the New Testament. As John the Baptist came on the scene preaching repentance, for the kingdom of God was at hand. And in this same book of Acts that we've been reading through, you know, there are several places here. One is found in the third chapter in the 19th verse where he says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." So the whole message of the New Testament is one of repentance. Again, chapter 17 of Acts, we find Paul here preaching, and he's saying in that 30th verse of Acts 17, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to what?
Repent.
It's an age of repentance. In order to get into the kingdom of God, repentance is in order. In order to be a member of the church, repentance is in order. And so, repentance is the theme of this whole New Testament. And so we find from last time that Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26, God gives us a promise. He says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." So we've got a new heart. Paul, writing to the Ephesian saints in Ephesians chapter 4, could describe not only that we have a new heart, but that we are a new man. Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse 22, he says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So that new man, that new heart that God has put within His children is one that is made out of righteousness and true holiness. And so the war begins. Galatians 5 and 17 describes that war. You know, as long as we were dead in sin, we had nothing to fight. But when God put a new nature, a new heart, a new man in us, then it began to be challenged by the old man. And the war began. And so we not only have a new heart, we're not only a new man, but we've got a new mind. He says in verse 23, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." You know, I love 2 Corinthians chapter 10, where he's writing to the Corinthian saints, and he says in chapter 10, and verse 3, 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations." When our imaginations take place in the mind, that's where all the thought processes are. It's in the mind. And so we've been given a new mind. We're a new creature. We have a new heart. And so God has enabled us to be able to pull down strongholds and cast down imaginations. What kind of imaginations? Well, he tells us. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So I guess in one sense, when you look back in the old Western days, when the West was being settled, you had a lot of cowboys, and they carried a lasso, a rope, on their saddle so that they could twirl that thing around and lasso a cow that was going the wrong way. And so I guess in one sense we're cowboys for Christ, right? We've all got a lasso. And we've got to lasso the wandering thoughts and straying imaginations of our hearts and bring them where? To the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want you to know that sin and vices of all kind in our life get a stronghold. If we're not pulling them down, if we're not bringing our thoughts into obedience to Jesus Christ, then we're seeing one stronghold after another being built in our hearts and in our minds. You take any sin. You ever try to stop smoking? You ever try to stop chewing tobacco? You ever try to stop dipping? You ever try to stop drinking? You ever try to stop doing any kind of the modern sins we got today, like sexting? You know, that's just a new term that's been invented in the last little bit. But it's still a sin that people are involved with. You know, we had a case in Atlanta that just shows you how much sin can build a stronghold in our heart. This man was in his workplace doing all kinds of lewd things on his phone and sending that to a woman that wasn't his wife while what? His little baby was dying in a car because of the summer heat, had no ventilation. And that child died in that car while that man was in there carrying on. I know that it happens in the world today. We've got record of it all around us. But you know, it happens with young Christian people as well. I know that because I believe this brother to be a godly young man. But he slipped up one time and he sent me something by accident. And when I called him about it, oh, he was embarrassed and he was ashamed. But I tell you, we can all give way to some kind of vice and some kind of sin. And if we're not trying to pull it down and cast it down, it's going to have a stronghold and a grip on our life. But you see, God's given us a way to be able to pull these things down. Maybe it's an attitude. And we all have attitudes, don't we? We can all get in a horrible attitude, just terrible attitudes. We can get all bent out of shape over attitudes. It's almost like a 2,500-pound bull. And if you've ever been around one of those things that's mad, you get a little bit scared. But you see, our attitudes can be just like that. A big, burly thing. But I tell you, when you lasso that thing, you can pull it down to the ground and bring it in submission and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's where we need to be. Jesus Christ has given us the wonderful ability to control our thoughts through His help, His grace, His Spirit, and His Word. So as our thoughts wander, so do our lives. And we need to lasso those things and bring them captive to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we do that, we'll find a way to pull down strongholds and cast down imaginations. Well, he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, we're new creatures or creations. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Let's go back to Job chapter 21 for a moment, where we can see some of the old things. Verse 7 of Job 21 is very similar to Psalm 73. Both the psalmist and Job are recounting how there seems to be no bands, no problems, no troubles in the life of the wicked. Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power? Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull gendereth and faileth not. Their cow calveth and casteth not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? And you know, there was a time in our life we were the same way. We didn't want to pray to God. We didn't want to be around God. We didn't want his knowledge in our mind. We didn't want to have anything to do with God. We hated God. But here's the wonderful reality. When God transplants a new heart in us and makes us a new man in Christ, all these old things have passed away, and now we're seeing new things. We have new loves, new likes. All the old hates and dislikes have passed away, and now you can't get close enough to God. In that time of our first love, oh, it was wonderful. We couldn't go to church enough. We couldn't get enough of the Bible. We couldn't be around God's people enough. But time and the world come in, and they began to wear that first love down, and then it's a struggle to ever get it back, isn't it? We find a wonderful thing that we want to be close to God. And that's what David could say in Psalm 27 in verse 8. Psalm 27 in verse 8, David says, when you said it, Lord, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And we want to seek his face. We want to be near God as close as we can get. And you know, there's something wonderful about the faith that God implants in that new heart. It's found in the book of Luke in the 8th chapter. I want you to see in verse 43. Now this woman had a faith, but it's not any different than the faith you've got this morning. It's the same faith. It's located in the same one. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And a woman, verse 43, having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her blood, her issue of blood was staunched or stopped. Now all she did was reach out a reach of faith. She didn't even touch Jesus. She never laid a hand on His person. All she did was touch the hem, the border of His garment, and her blood dried up immediately. But then what happened? Well, see what the next verse says. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" She never touched His person. But I tell you, that reach of faith that she had stopped Him in His tracks, and He said, "Who touched me?" Now you've got the same faith this morning, and it brings you as close to Jesus Christ as you want to be. The question is, how close do you want to be? Oh, it's wonderful that we can stop Jesus Christ in His tracks. And that reach of faith today is still reaching out to draw Him near our hearts and lives. And so now, we have been given a new heart. We're a new man. We got a new mind. And we want clean hearts. You know, that's what the psalmist could say in Psalm 19. Psalm 19, he says in verse 12, "Who can understand His errors? Cleanse Thou me from secret faults." And we've got plenty of them. Psalm 51, again the psalmist could say, Psalm 51 and verse 2, he says, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." And that's the language of a heart that's been renewed. That is the language of a heart that wants to get close to God. We want to be cleansed. "Cleanse me, dear Lord." Psalm 79 and verse 9 says, "Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of Thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for Thy name's sake." So there was a time in our life, in the old things, where we didn't want to have any fellowship with God. We didn't want to be close to God. But old things, hallelujah, have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now we can't get enough of God. Now we can't get close enough. We can't deepen our fellowship enough. We want the living God in our heart and our life. And so John says in 1 John chapter 1 that he brings out three different things that God wants to see in our lives to deepen our fellowship with Him. And the first is what he describes in these first few verses. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." So this fellowship is a living fellowship. It's alive. It's nothing that's dead and inanimate. It is full of life and vitality. And how do we see that? How does somebody see in your life that you have a living fellowship with God? Let me give you one word. It's called obedience. Obedience. When you turn to Hebrews chapter 5, you see in verse 9 that it says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that disobey him.
Obey.
Obey, that's right. Unto all them that obey him. Obedience is the test. Obedience is the key. How do people see in your life that you're having fellowship with God? Because you're obeying what he commands you to do. You're going to obey him perfectly? None of us ever will in this life. But it's the bent of our heart that we want to obey what he's commanded us. Obedience. Well, he wants that fellowship to be a joyful fellowship. And in Psalm 18 and verse 19, the psalmist here talks about this wonderful blessing. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Now that's a staggering thought, isn't it? That one so wretched and full of sin as myself, that God could delight in me, that God could delight in you. But that is the word that we see this morning, and it's a truthful word. God delighted in us this morning. And if that doesn't make your heart glad, nothing will. And because he has delighted himself in us, oh, what joy it gives us to want to love him and serve him with every fiber of our being. And then he comes on down and he says in verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now light represents God's holy and pure nature. But light also, I believe, is describing his omniscience, that he knows all things, that he sees all things, that nothing in our life can be hidden from God. He knows it all. And because he knows it all, he wants us to have an honest fellowship with him in dealing with sin. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And so we believe the doctrine of total depravity. We know that man is born in sin, and until God changes his life, he's going to go further and further in sin. And so if we're going to deal honestly with our sin, then we can't be like those who say, I don't have any sin. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm a pretty good guy. I mean, you look around and see all these other people and see what kind of sorry wretches they are. I'm a pretty good fella. But the reality is, if we say that we have no sin, we not only deceive ourselves, but we make him a liar as well. So dealing honestly with sin means that I'm going to confess it, I'm going to repent of it, and I'm going to continue walking in the light as God is in the light. So this is all about the New Testament age and the Church of Jesus Christ, and we're all sinners here. I don't know of a church in America that's not full of sinners, but the difference is they have been changed by the grace of Almighty God, and they've been given a heart that can be touched. It can be convicted by his word and by truth. And so we have something built in. A lot of people use the excuse, well, I can't repent until God gives me repentance. But you know what he did give you? He gave you a heart that can be convicted by his word. And so let's see that in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, Peter stands up and he begins to preach to all these people gathered there for this Feast of Pentecost that had come from all over, hundreds of miles away, having been driven through the dispersion of the Old Testament, and they have come to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast, and Peter's preaching to them and telling them about Jesus Christ, and it says in verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were pricked or cut in their heart. And you know, that's exactly what happens today to God's people. When they've been living in sin and they know they've done wrong and the Word of God comes, it cuts us down to the very quick and it convicts us of sin and gives us a desire to want to seek God and confess that sin and repent. They were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, what's the word? Repent. It's all about repentance. We'll continue to sin as long as we're alive. But thank God, we can also repent. We can also turn back to God and continue walking in the light as He is in the light. And that's a beautiful place to be. And so, we have what Jesus says in, well, that first chapter of Acts, in the 8th verse, He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what unto me?"
Witnesses.
And so people are looking at our lives, and what kind of witness are they seeing in you? What kind of witness are they seeing in me? You see, when you go outside at night and it's dark and the moon is shining bright, that moon has no light of its own. The light it has comes from the sun. And you know, as a born-again Christian, I have no light of my own. All the light I have and all the light you have is a reflected light that reflects the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world.
Yeah.
And we reflect His glory and His power to the world. So what kind of light are people seeing in your life? How are we reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ? Do they see His power? Do they see His glory? You know what happens when we hide sin in our life? We hide a lot of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we revolve around Jesus just like the moon does. And so we reflect the light of the sun. That's the S-O-N, not the S-U-N. The Son of God. He is that light that we reflect in our life. And is it a holy light? Because He's holy. Is it a pure one? Because He's pure. Is it a loving one? Because He's full of love. And so what the world sees in my life is going to reflect Jesus Christ, or it's not going to reflect Jesus Christ. We're going to influence many people around us. What kind of influence are we giving to those around us? Is it a good one? Is it a negative one? Is it a bad one? Because that influence is part of the witness and part of the light that we reflect to the world. May it be one that glorifies Jesus Christ.